This is Dr. Benny Tate, and I would like to thank you for tuning in to this week's message at Rock Springs Church. Wherever you are, I hope this message encourages you and helps you grow in your walk with God. Here's this week's message from Rock Springs Church. Today I want to talk to you about the five love languages, but our verse is in 1 Peter 3:7. Look what this verse says. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Look what he says. Dwell with them according to knowledge. You know what that says? That says the husband is to become a student of his wife, and the wife is to become a student of her husband. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Get to know them. Learn about them. Dwell with them according to knowledge. Let's pray. Jesus, I pray today that you'll speak to us and through us. And God, I pray your word will have a free course to travel. And Lord, you know the needs, and I ask you to meet the needs. And for all that happens in this service, we'll bow our unworthy heads and we'll praise you. For I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. No place like home. I was reading about a couple that was celebrating their 50th wedding anniversary, and it was a wonderful celebration, and they were getting ready to conclude, and they said, well, let's have a toast between the couples. And the elderly gentleman, he looked over at his wife, and he said, after 50 years, I found you tried and true. And she said, huh? And he said, after 50 years, I found you tried and true. And she said, huh? He said, after 50 years, I found you tried and true. And she said, after 50 years, I'm tired of you too. No place like home. Well, home is supposed to be a good place, because the Bible says in Proverbs 18:22, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing. If you found a wife, the Bible says you found a good thing. I say, if you found a wife, you found a good thing. And the scripture says, not only have you found a good thing, but you have obtained the favor of the Lord. The Bible says this in Ephesians 5:31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they're one flesh. They're one flesh. This is a great mystery. Get that, folks. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and his church. Talks about a man leaving his father and mother and becoming one flesh, and then he says it's a mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Every ordinance in the Bible is symbolic. In 2 weeks, we'll be baptizing. See, when we baptize, it's symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's symbolic of that you've died out to sin and you've been raised to walk in newness of life. It's symbolic. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, you take a wafer and you take a little juice. It's symbolic. It symbolizes the body and the blood of Jesus. But I want you to understand something. The Bible says marriage is symbolic, because what marriage should symbolize is the relationship that Christ has with his church. People should look at our marriages and see the relationship that Christ has with his church. They should look at our marriages and see the deep love and compassion that Christ has for his church. Marriage is vitally important. Did you ever think about this? The devil did not come after Adam until he got Eve. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. I can relate to that. The devil did not come after Adam till he got Eve. Why, Pastor? Because get this. The devil knew the impacting effect of marriage. The devil knew how impacting for the kingdom and how much a kingdom marriage really matters. And how when the relationship is right between a man and a woman, it will be wonderful and they will accomplish exploits in their lives and exploits in the lives of others. Get this, Genesis 1 and 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created them. Male and female created he them. This is not the message, but I want you to get that so you understand. There's just male and female. You are how you were born, either male or female. Now look, and God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. I want you to understand, God gave man a purpose that he couldn't fulfill on his own. God gave man a purpose that he could not fulfill on his own. He needed his wife. And God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose that you can't fulfill on your own. That's why you need your mate. That's why it's so important that we have a kingdom marriage. Now, here's what breaks my heart. It's an indictment on the church when the divorce rate is just as high within the church as it is outside the church. It's an indictment on us because, look, there's a 100% success rate in marriage if done God's way. There's a 100% success rate when a husband and wife both will say, I want to do it God's way. But we're having struggles. We really are. What starts out is ideal. We have an ordeal, and many times we're looking for a new deal. Somebody said, you show me a man who comes home greeted by a smile, encouraged to take off his shoes, and sit on a pillow on the floor and enjoy a delicious meal. And I'll show you a man who lives in a Japanese restaurant. Now that reminds me of a book that I read decades ago. The book actually came out, ladies and gentlemen, in 1992. And I read it decades ago. It was called The Five Love Languages. The foundation of this book, there was a man, he was an associate pastor. His name's Gary Chapman, and he was doing a lot of counseling. And in his research, he found out that there are five major love languages. Now, the book has sold over 20 million copies. And when I read that book, I said, we got to get him at our church. And I brought Dr. Chapman to the church to teach on five love languages. And this was the gist of it. He said the problem is many times the man is speaking Japanese, but the wife understands in English. They're speaking two different languages, and they don't connect because they're speaking different languages. And he said the secret is we've got to speak the same language. Now, here's what I want you to see as a foundation. Ephesians 5 and 25 says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. A man says, I need to know what my responsibility is. Come up real close and I'll tell you, love your wife. It's that simple. Love your wife. But not only does it say for that husband to love his wife, but Titus says this. It says for the older women to teach the younger women to be sober, to love their husbands. What does that mean? That means that the older women ought to be teaching the younger women, you love your husband. You love your husband. You love your husband. By the way, folks, am I just preaching the Bible? You love your husband. That's what the Bible teaches. You love your husband. But what we got to do, folks, is we got to make sure that we're speaking the right language. And Dr. Chapman said, there are five languages. And he said, what I've got to do, I've got to figure out what my wife's love language is. She's got a primary language. And if I'm not awful careful, I may be speaking Japanese, but she understands English. And I got to make sure I'm speaking the right language. You've got a primary language and a secondary. You say all five of them are mine. No, they're not. You've got a primary and maybe a secondary, but you've got a primary love language. It's how you receive love. Let me give you the five love languages. Number one is words of affirmation. Words of affirmation. This is the second most popular language with couples. Of the five, this is the second most popular. I'll tell you what the most popular is before we finish the message in about an hour and 15 minutes. Words of affirmation. Because see, all people respond to praises and raises. Words of affirmation. Think about this. Genesis 1 and 3 says, and God said, let there be light. If you don't think words matter, we're in a world today that was created because God spoke. Why do we have a world? I'll tell you why we have a world. We have a world because of words. Because words really do matter. It was spoken into existence. One lady and husband go shopping and she tries on a dress and she comes out of the dressing room with a dress on and she said, honey, does this dress make me look fat? He said, oh, certainly not. It's your hips that make you look fat. Now look, he had never read Proverbs 18 and 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. See, he had never read Proverbs 25 and 11 that says, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver. He had never read Ephesians 4, 29 that says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of thy mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Now, if you've got a husband, let me tell you something. The greatest need that every man has, this is the greatest need that your husband has too, so you're in the right place. What's the greatest need, Pastor, that every husband has? One simple word, respect. Respect. It really is. You say, well, it's good that we're taught that. No, no, no. The Bible teaches us that. In Ephesians 5:33, it talks about the wife reverencing her husband. Because his greatest need is respect. His greatest need is the admiration of his wife. More than anything, he wants his wife to admire him. I preached three services on Sunday. Here, and usually somewhere else, Sunday night. And between the services, I do something. I tell my people, I say, I need to go downstairs. Because I've got a mixture I mix up. I mix vinegar and water, and I drink it, and it burns stuff off my throat. So I say to my men, I got to go downstairs between service. Now, I'm not totally honest with them, because I do drink my stuff, but I also reach over and grab my phone. And I'm looking for a text. I'm looking for a text from Barbara that says, I want to tell you something. That message was powerful. That was so good, Benny. And I'm thinking, more, more, more. See, I'm just being transparent, honest. Maybe sometimes too honest. But your husband wants it too. So you got to look. You got to look for ways to affirm him, respect him, reverence him. Honey, your appearance, you look so nice today. Oh, honey, you're so smart. I don't think there's anybody as smart as you. Your competence on the job is wonderful. Thank you for how you provide for our family. Thank you for working so hard. Honey, I admire your physical strength. You say, well, Brother Benny, there's something. Hey, honey, I'm so proud of you. You made it up the stairs today. Amen? Or what I really admire about you is your love for the Lord. Your love. It's a love language. It's a love language. Maybe your wife has it. Maybe it may be her primary love language. And you're out there, you're doing all these things, you're buying all these things, but no, what she's wanting is words of affirmation. But there's a second love language. It's acts of service. It's acts of service. What did Jesus do this for his bride? Well, he certainly did. He cooked breakfast for his bride. He washed his bride's feet. He literally said, let the greatest among you be your servant. Get this. A man's greatest need is respect. A woman's greatest need is security. Every woman under the sound of my voice, her greatest need in life is security. You say, well, I want to create that for her. Here's what creates it. A sacrificial, serving husband. A sacrificial serving husband. One lady said, my husband's a do-it-yourself type of guy. Every time I ask him to do something, he says, do it yourself. The University of Pennsylvania did a research. This was interesting to me. The University of Pennsylvania did some research, and they wanted to determine when is a man most sexually attractive to his wife. When is a man most sexually attractive to his wife? And look here, look, and even in the research, it talks about, you know, that women are excited, you know, 4 to 6 days a month. Look, and men are excited 32 days a month. But here's what was so interesting. When is he the most attractive? This blew my mind. When he's doing housework. When he's doing housework. When he's doing housework. See, folks, you're thinking, wait. Brother Benny, I got to get buffed up. I got to get me a tan and a gold chain. Unbutton that shirt, amen. No. That ain't what you got to do. Here's what you got to do. Got to grab the vacuum. Amen. Just grab that vacuum. It'll do it every time. You just grab that vacuum. Here's all I'm saying. It's a love language. It's words of affirmation. It's acts of service. Wait. There's a third love language. It's gifts. And it's not wrong. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. I believe we're never any more like Jesus than when we're giving. We're never any more like Jesus than when we're giving. I'm like Bill Pratt. I want to do my giving while my hands are still warm. I really do. Lady was on an airplane. She looked over at another lady and she had this beautiful large diamond. She said, that's so beautiful. That is such a beautiful ring. She said, yes, it's the famous white diamond. She said, that's beautiful. She said, yes, but a dreaded curse goes with it. She said, what is it? She said, Mr. White. You remember Abraham? Abraham understood this because he said, I want a mate for my boy. We're here in Canaan, but I don't want my boy to marry one of these Canaanite girls. I don't want him to marry a Canaanite. I want him to marry a godly girl. By the way, folks, if you're a Christian, you ought to be dating Christians. You ought to be dating Christians. I'm going to tell you something. If he or she don't love Jesus more than you do, you don't need them. We don't believe in this missionary dating. No. That's not biblical. You're not to be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You say, well, I'll change him. No, none of you are not going to change him. No, you better find you a Christian. See, there's three groups. There's the grabbers. This is their philosophy about dating. Whosoever will, let them come. They're just grabbers. Then you got the grippers. I can't get nobody. Man, I understand why. But then you got the grabbers. And the grabbers say, I'm going to grab hold of God's word. I mean the grippers. I'm going to grip hold of God's word. I'm going to grip God's word and I'm going to wait till God sends me the person he wants for me. You listen to your preacher today. It's better to be single and want to be married than to be married and want to be single. Amen. This is just real good preaching today. He said, wait. I want you to go to Mesopotamia. I want you to get Abraham. I want you to get Isaac, a godly girl. But he said, when you mount those camels up, put some rings on them. Put some necklaces on them. Put some jewelry. Because her love language might be gifts. Let me give you the fourth love language. I got to move. It's physical touch. It's physical touch. UCLA said if you did a study and said women need 8 to 10 meaningful touches a day. And the survey said they need 80% of them to be non-sexual touching. Holding hands, kiss, hugs, back rub, caressing, physical touch. One woman was very depressed and her husband took her to the doctor. The doctor could see the despondency and he walked in, did something strange. He kissed her right on the lips. The despondency left and you could have gotten a clothes hanger in her mouth. She was smiling so big. And he looked over at the husband and said, 3 times a week, brother, 3 times a week. The husband said, I'll bring her in on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. The last love language, look here. By the way, this is the most popular one. Across the board with couples, this is the most popular love language. Quality time. Quality time. Now, it must have not been one guy's because he and his wife were out shopping and he did something. He was looking and noticed his wife and she saw a can of peaches and put it in her pocketbook. You know what happens when you do that? You get caught. She got caught. She goes before the judge. And the judge says, I want to ask you something. How many peaches was in that can? She said, 6. And the judge said, 6 days in jail. And they thought it was over. And the husband said, Your Honor, Your Honor, Your Honor. He said, What, sir? And he said, Well, I just want you to know, Judge, she also stole a can of peas. He didn't want quality time, amen? But 87% of women said, I'd give up part of my husband's salary if I just had more time with him. You know, through the years, I've preached a lot and preached a lot of funerals. I remember back when COVID was going on. Thank God it's passed. I spoke that, by the way. Thank God it's passed. One day I preached 4 funerals in one day. 4 funerals. Thank God it's passed. But I remember I was talking to a man, and he said, Pastor Benny, God's blessed me with 2 wives. He said, I had 2. I said, that's wonderful. He said, yeah, my first wife I had children with, and she passed. And he said, then I remarried. I said, that's wonderful. He said, you know, Brother Benny, he said, my first wife, he said, everything was just immaculate. I said, well, I like it that way, don't you? He said, everything was just immaculate. He said, I could get up during the night to, you know, use the restroom, and she'd remake the bed. You know, everything was just immaculate. Said something. But he said, Pastor Benny, I remarried my second wife after my wife died. And he said, you know what I noticed? I said, what's that, brother? He said, when I would just talk, she'd just sit and listen to me. She'd just listen. She wouldn't do anything. She'd just look me right in the eye, and I'd tell the stories. And he said, she would just listen to me. And he didn't say it, but I'm sitting there while he's talking, and I'm thinking, yes, and your love language is quality time. That's why it meant so much to you. Now, here's what I want to say. I'm almost done. If only the other felt that way. But anyway. So, Pastor Benny, how do I determine my mate's language? Now, look here. You've got a sermon insert, and you've got a QR code that you can scan. You can fill out a quiz, and basically you go through the quiz and do it and determine yours, and your mate can discuss it. But get this. I've pastored some of you for decades, and you won't do it. So I want to help you right now. Simply because I know you won't do it. You say, how do you know that? Because I know you. Because you can't wait to get out of here and go eat right now. And about as quick as I start invitations, some of you won't even wait. You're out the door, out the door, out the door. Is this place on fire? What's going on? Well, we got to hurry. I know you've been here an hour. And you go to the Georgia football game and stay 4. And tailgate before. And sit there and just sit there and give 6-8 hours. But yet we come and say, Jesus is number one. I'm just being honest, folks. Confession's good for the soul. But we get to church and shaking Mickey Mouse. Isn't this fun? Pastor, how can I determine my mate's love language? Okay, here's 3 quick things and I'm done. Number one, observe how your mate expresses love to you. Look, if your mate's often saying, I love you, you're so special, you're so wonderful, they're often expressing love to you with words. Well, here's an indicator. Words of affirmation could be your mate's love language. Look, if your mate's always buying you things, they're always buying you things, well, it could be that gifts is your mate's love language. So observe how your mate expresses love to you. Look, number two, observe how your mate expresses love to others. Well, if you're married to somebody that's just hugging everybody, well, it's pretty obvious that physical touch is their love language. If you're married to somebody that's always doing kindful deeds, cutting grass or baking or helping somebody out, hey, it's a good indication that acts of service is their love language. Now, here's the most important, number 3. Observe what your mate complains about. You say, what do you mean, Pastor? Well, here's what I mean. If your mate says, you're never here, maybe quality time's their love language. If your mate says, well, you fix everybody else's stuff, but never repair anything around the house, perhaps acts of service is your love language. If your mate says, I just wish from time to time you'd hold me, physical touch might be their love language. Yesterday, I spent the day in Columbia, South Carolina, at Columbia International University. Graduation. Columbia International University is a great school. They've had some great presidents. The president now is a dear friend of mine. But they had a president by the name of Robert McQuilkin. Robert McQuilkin was a wonderful man. He was actually the third president of this great school. And Robert McQuilkin was married to a lady by the name of Meryl. Meryl was her name. And she was diagnosed with dementia. And he was trying to lead the school, and he would come home and having somebody to sit with Meryl. He lived a mile from the school, and he would say, how did Meryl do today? And they'd say, Dr. McQuilkin, it wasn't real good. 10 times today she tried to walk to the school to see you. 10 times. And he said, when they would tell me that, I would think, she so wanted to be with me. I wish I wanted to be with Jesus like that. I wish I wanted to be with Jesus like that. And he said, one night I came in from work and we was putting her in bed, and I looked down at her feet, and her feet were bleeding. And I said to the lady, why is her feet? And they said, oh, Dr. McQuilkin, we didn't want to tell you, but she wanted to see you today. She got in the briar patch. She got her feet cut up. She so wanted to be with you. So she got those feet cut up. And Dr. McQuilkin said, you've told me all I need to know. And he went to the school and he met with his board. And he said, board, I need to resign. I need to resign. Now look here. I won't call his name. I wouldn't do that. I would never want to say anything derogatory about other preachers. But there's a famous pastor who said that if your mate is diagnosed with dementia, that's grounds for divorcing and going on with your life. But I can't get past for better, for worse, for richer, for poor, in sickness and in health, to love and to cherish till death do us part. I can't get past that. God can't get past that either, by the way. And he said, I told my board that I'm resigning. And he said, my board said to me, Dr. McQuilkin, you're impacting a lot of young people's lives to go home and take care of a woman who don't even know who you are. And he said, that's okay, because I know who she is. I don't know if Dr. McQuilkin realizes it, but what he's did, his marriage was a mystery that showed us Christ's deep love for his church. I don't know if this man realized it, but his marriage was a testimony to the world of what Jesus Christ can do in individuals' lives. Let me share something with you folks. That verse that I read, 1 Peter 3:7, I'm trying to finish. I'm trying. But I remember when I read it for the first time. Years ago, decades ago, Barbara and I was having intensive fellowship. You remember Barbara? And I said, I think I'll leave. And she said, make yourself happy. And I walked out of the house and I slammed that door. Don't act like you've never done it. And I got in my little pickup truck and I was looking for Ephesians 5:22. True story, folks. Barbara knows it's true. I was looking for Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband as unto the Lord. But I didn't understand then that that word wives, submit yourselves unto your own, means special. So is the issue her submitting or you being special? I believe if we'll be special, she won't have much problem submitting. And if she'll submit, we won't have much problem being special. Oh, this is good. And I wanted to find that one, but I found this one. It says that your prayers be not hindered. And I went back home and I said, Barbara, come into the bedroom. I said, look, I didn't even know this verse was in there. But I said, it's in there. And I said, Barbara, you want to have a baby more than anything? She said, yes, I do. And I said, Barbara, I want to build a church for God. But our prayers are being hindered. Our prayers are being hindered. Look here, you've got issues. 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 We don't need anything to hinder our prayers. We don't need anything to hinder our prayers. We don't need anything in our marriages to hinder our prayers, because we need God to respond to the needs of our lives.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message from Rock Springs Church. If you would like more information about Rock Springs, be sure to follow us on social media or connect with us at rockspringsonline.com. Join us right here next week for another message from Rock Springs Church.